and that we've been really thinking about looking at and the life in the Spirit. Today's topic really is the fellowship of the believers. And let me begin this way. Let me pray once. Father, we love you. We thank you, the mighty and awesome God, creator of heavens and the earth, sustainer of the universe, that mighty God, that you have thoughts for us, that you love us, you delight over us, even sacrifice yourself to save us and give us life. We thank you that you are amazing God who delights over us. So we come today as we worship you, God, that you will be honored and glorified. If we want to see your face, we want, Father, your truth that sets us free, but more than that, we want to encounter, we want to know you and know you better and come closer to you, God. We want to see your face. Will you join your God in the name of our Lord Jesus? We pray, amen. There are many amazing accounts in the Bible. One of those amazing accounts is Pentecost, when God's promise, which is it ringing? A lot of ringing, right? Can you put some of the reverbs down? No ringing? Just me? Okay, all right, just me, okay. All right. What God has promised throughout the centuries are fulfilled in that Pentecost Sunday when Holy Spirit came upon the people. Holy Spirit, who was God's Spirit, who only came upon certain people at certain times for certain tasks, as God has promised, came upon all who will trust and believe in him. And when that happened, a lot of amazing things happened, but two main things I look at it is, and that day when Holy Spirit came upon people, they were empowered. First thing they did, they became witnesses of Jesus Christ. They began to tell about Jesus, and thousands of people came to know Christ that day. Second thing that happened that day really was a church was birthed spontaneously. So as I was praying about, thinking about, you know, the life in the Spirit, so is so much connected to the church, to the community, the body of Christ. It is so connected. And we have to understand the life in the Spirit is a life lived in the community, in the people of God. You have to look at it in that way, because I think we live in such an individualistic society when everything is about me. And from the beginning, from the get-go, when the Holy Spirit came, first thing the result that came about was that God brought the life under God's people to be lived in community. Has supposed to be in the community. If God's desire was to save us and go to heaven, then that the moment you get saved, you should be taken up to heaven. No, God left us here. Not only to be witness of Jesus Christ, but because God desires us to have family, a community. So I want to look at this a little bit. All right? Now, let me give a little background, and I want to read a little bit of background before we go into our text, which is Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. Let me read. Now, when they heard this, this is when the Pentecost and Peter's preaching, they, the people who were hearing, were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And for the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself." It's not only for them, but to all the ages, to those who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 20 says, And with many other words, Peter and the apostles solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." So then those who had received his word were baptized. And that day there were added about 3,000 souls. In that Jerusalem temple, 3,000 people turned to Christ and got baptized. This is the crowd just a few days, not too long ago, they chanted and crucified Christ. By the empowerment of the Spirit of God, this Peter was scared and hiding because of all the fear, now empowered, now preaches and speaks about Jesus Christ, and these people, convicted by the Spirit, now come to know Jesus Christ. They are saved, they become Christians. I want to look at our text. Our text is Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. This is the text I think even I preached a number of times in our church. I love this passage. I don't mind us going back and looking at it again. I want to dig in and talk about it. Look at it a little bit. Let's look at this. I want to read it once, and then I want to take word verse by verse and dissect a little bit, okay? All right, can you do that? Okay. Put a little bit of Bible study head on you, okay? And they were continually, those who are saved, continually devoting themselves to apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, and as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who are being saved. This is the first picture of the first church the Bible ever speaks about. When this people, by the preaching, hearing the word of God, by faith, when they were saved, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, first thing that happened was a community happened. And so he talks about here how, and I want to go in and let me take verse by verse. And the first thing that happened was they were gathering together. The birthing of a church that happened. Now look at this. Verse 42. They were constantly devoting themselves. That when the Spirit of God came, something happened in them. They are not saying, you need to come and meet every day. They naturally, without anybody saying anything, they were continuing devoting themselves to four things. They came to apostles' teaching. They want to know more about Jesus. And then they came and did fellowship. What is koinonia? We're going to talk about it. Koinonia. Fellowship is not having coffee and donut. Or even, sandwiches in the back. Or even bibimbap, whatever. It is more than that. They were continuing themselves to fellowship. And to the breaking of the bread. The breaking of the bread really is allusions to two things. Two things. One, eating meals together. That definitely. Christian church from the beginning loved to eat. We love to eat. We are in our right tradition if we love to eat. I am amazed how we can eat out in our church. We know how to eat in our church. And I remember like a few weeks ago, my wife was making that bibimbap, whatever. I thought she was making enough. I'm always worried that we don't have enough. And you guys are coming and eating like you have been fasting for days. Ran out of food. And I didn't get to eat that day because you ate them all. Anyhow, and we love eating. But the second part of the breaking of the bread really is about what he did last week. How Jesus broke the bread and gave it to them. My body broken for you. They're remembering what Christ has done. They're communing with one another, but we are communing with God. You're talking about both here. They will continue, as they come, continued devoting themselves, and they remember what Christ has done. Not only that, out of that, they were sharing their lives with people. And they were also devoting themselves to prayer. They knew instinctively the prayer is an important part of their life. Prayer is not only asking God what they need, but really a communing with God. And they knew from the beginning that when we ask God, God answers our prayers. The prayers are invitation to let heaven come on earth. Prayer is an invitation. When you pray, we are asking God the heaven to come on earth. That's what prayer is. And they got together and began to devote themselves. It says continually devoting themselves. They were not forced. They did it because they wanted to, and they did it together. Now let's go and look at it. I want to talk about that fellowship a little bit. The Greek word fellowship is koinonia, has two meanings. Number one, partnership, sharing a task together, or it can be fellowship in the sense sharing your life. The meaning of fellowship, I guess, I think the animation was kicked out, wasn't it? Albert, I think we're going to have issue down the line. We have another one, that screen, another PowerPoint slide. We need to have an animation in there. Let me read 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. And Apostle Paul said, "We love you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you have become dear to us." Apostle Paul says that when he came to church and when he came to Thessalonica, began to share the gospel. Not only did he share the gospel with them, but he shared their lives with them. That koinonia involves both, you know, sharing the task together as well as sharing life together. Definition of the word, the fellowship. Fellowship is sharing your life with other Christians. An intimate and invigorating friendship in which you meet each other's social, emotional, and spiritual needs. Now we're going to come back to this word. I love the word koinonia. Koinonia is a word. Now let me go to the next verse. Verse 43. Now it says, everyone were kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. As the disciples and all the people are saved, were gathering together daily, spending time together, something was that they begin to sense when they gathered that God was in their midst. The miracles that were happening, God, they knew in the atmosphere, God, they knew there's a sense that God was in the midst of them. The body church, when they gathered, it really began because they, in the sense that there is a sense that you know God is in our midst. Amen? That's one of the things I pray in our church. As you gather, it's not only we gather and doing some religious things. Now, I was born as a, when I was born, I was a Catholic, little Catholic boy, okay? And I went to Catholic church until when I came to the States. But the thing is, you know, I go to Mass and, you know, do the old, you know, the I need to go to, and Saturday go to, you know, confessionals. If you're Catholic, you do that. You need to go to confessional before you have a communion. You know that, right? If you have Catholic, but you know that. And I did all those. But yet I went all those without knowing what was going on. And often becomes a thing you go through. But really what God really wanted was not only that we go through some religious thing. God really wanted His presence, nearness with us. This is what they're sensing and feeling. This all God is in our midst. I still remember first time when Pastor Bob came. I think 2001. And I don't know how many will be there, but I know some of you are in youth group. I remember he came, this guy from on the Midwest came. We didn't know who he was. One of our youth group leaders, we should invite the guy. He came. And I remember I dropped by Saturday morning just to just be a nice pastor. When the youth group reach is going, I just came to show myself that I'm here. When I walked in, he was almost done with the message. You know, and some of you know, Pastor Bob is not a great preacher. You know, as much as I love him, he's not, doesn't make sense. I don't know what the heck he's saying. But I remember he was almost finished his message. But at the end, he said, "I've been praying for you guys. Can I share what I prayed for you?" Because he asked, you know, before, about 3 months before he came, he asked for the name of the kids who are coming. And he prayed. And I still remember some of the kids' names they called out. I think Maria was there. Maria Yu was there. And I called out different names. One of them was Maria, where are you? Stood up. And I got a word. God was saying, "She thinks she's tall. You think you're tall." And I remember also, I think, that he mentioned about Katie. And said, "I was praying for you. I saw you kicking." She was a soccer player. But then, you know, we are getting weirded now by this time, right? He's going calling one by one. Then came to Daniel, the ice cream boy. And he literally said, I got this letters. I don't know what it is. He began to spell out letters, name, his father's name, Korean name. He spelled it out. "I don't know what this is." And he said, "Oh, that's my father's name." Began to give him word. And so something happened in the room. We knew that, we just suddenly understood that God knows us. This white man in the Midwest who does not know anything, he was spelling out Korean name. Right? And, you know, and so we knew then, God knows me. God cares about me. There was a sense in the room came where we knew God was real. Every kid there knew. Now it didn't matter how wonderful the message is. We knew God knew us, care about us. That's what prophetic does. You know, and he went on and he began to tell, the Daniel, God told me that he's going to help you restore your relationship with your dad. If you know anything about ice cream boy, you know, Daniel, you know that is a word from God. You know, and so he wasn't crying, but everybody else was crying. But we knew what was going on. And God was speaking to him. We knew there was God in our midst. The point is when the early church, when they came and worshiped together, they knew God was in their midst. They knew, they sensed it. Not only because the miracles are happening, but because they knew God was in their midst. God knew them. God cared about them. God was watching over them. That's what church was. More than a building. They're in a building. They're in a building. But when they gathered, there was a sense that God was in their midst. That's what the church is. You know, and I think that sometimes we know when God is in your midst. We sense it. We smell it. We taste it. I can still name those times and days and place when I literally, clearly sense God's presence more than other times. I can literally feel it. But that's what God is, what they were experiencing. God was in their midst. Sense of God's presence. There's awe in their midst. That's why when Deborah, when she was sharing, and I didn't know Deborah was too prophetic. She was getting the word from God. You know, and told the boy the praise, and she didn't, is that from God? She said it anyway, and God confirms it to the boy because he heard the same phrase, same word from Hyungyu here before. And the boy hears and from her and realized, really, God is speaking to me. There's a sense where they knew that God was in their midst. God knows and God cares about us. We believe our God is God who speaks, God who has words for us. Amen. It does unlock our hearts. Look at the next verse. And though this is amazing. This is the most amazing passage for me. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all. And anyone might have, and to anyone that might have need. Something happened within this group. Nobody, I don't think they were preaching or teaching about it. And they, in the midst, in the spirit of God moving in the midst, they realized they saw in the among the community those who are in need. And they were so transformed. Now, they were not only giving some offering. They were willing to even sell their things to care for others. This is totally different from this world. This world says, you take care of yourself. Here, In the presence of God, in the spirit of God, God's people, the heart was so transformed. It is not about me. It's about us. We begin to share our hearts and lives with one another. That's what an early church looked like. Amazing. Together, all common sharing. This is not a communism because it's not forced. It was voluntarily sharing something without anybody asking for it, but because I want to care about one another. Now, let me stop here and stop for a second. Put your thought over there, okay? I'm going to do a little bit of back. How many of you are here when Pastor Joey Wandler was here speaking about that rich, young rich ruler? His thesis was, I cannot prove it, but his thesis was that person was Barnabas. And tying that with that, the chapter 4 of Acts, where Barnabas sold his land to help others, whatever it might be. I don't know whether that's true or not. And I think I'm more so, I believe he is. He's true. I'm really leaning toward that. I cannot prove it either. But the thing is that what I see is a change of heart. People's heart was changed. One of the things that I'm still uncomfortable to speak more than all the messages. The thing that most uncomfortable for me to speak about is money, about offering. I don't do it. If I do, I'm always blushing. I feel like I am I feel very apologetic. I feel like I am, you know, extorting money from you or something. I feel so uncomfortable. I don't want to do it. But the thing is that here you see people's heart was transformed. And they were sharing from their heart to the point of selling my things for the sake of others. You know, I think I told this more than once. I remember one of the stories that I heard. I was listening to the One Thing conference that happened in Kansas City like about 3-4 years ago. That's when Francis Chan first came and spoke. I still remember I was watching at home with the, you know, from the computer. And in that there, he was telling a story. One of his friends, he spent his 20th anniversary in the hospital because he's donating his kidney to somebody. Remember the story I told you? I don't know how many of you remember the story. The story was that his friend in his church, there were announcements out. There's an old gentleman in our church who has to go to dialysis 3 times a week. And this day he needs to go. He doesn't have a ride. Can somebody volunteer to help? So he volunteered to take this old man. He doesn't really know. Member of the church. Need to go to dialysis. As he picked them up, took him there. You know, and then on the way back, talked with them. He got to know him a little bit, you know, and on the way back, he had a thought. What if I give him one of my kidney? One of my kidney. So he went and told his wife, I want to give one of my kidneys to this man. His wife said, you're crazy. You don't even know that guy. He's an old man. And you're a young guy. Why? You don't want to give a kidney to the old man. Why? He said, because he's my brother in Christ. He needs it. And everybody, even the pastor said, what are you doing? That's no, stupid. But he spent his 20th anniversary in the hospital donating one of his kidneys to this old man in his church who he doesn't really know because he's sharing something he has because he needs it. I remember Francis Chan talking about, this is not about 2,000 years ago early church. This is what the church ought to be like. Where we, because you're changed by the Spirit of God, we care about each other enough to share our hearts and lives with others. We don't just say with our words. It's not about just giving more offering to one another. It's about sharing our lives because we are God's people. Because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what this early church was experiencing. Sacrificial sharing. You don't just share whatever left over. No, you share sacrificially. Because this is body of Christ. I know our church, we are really good about sharing. I'm not saying you should give more offering. It'll be great if you do. But that's not what I'm talking about. I don't need your kidney. But what I'm getting at is, here's something happened. When the Spirit of, remember, we began this whole series, how by God promised, I'm going to put new heart in you. Instead of heart of stone, I'm going to give you heart of flesh. I'm going to give you a new heart. When Holy Spirit comes and lives within us as you trust in Him, Holy Spirit changes the hearts and minds that is most effectively seen in the community. I know you are child of God because how you live in the community. That's how you should. This is what Jesus said the night before He goes to the cross. The last thing He said was, the new command I give to you, love one another as I've loved you. That love was not just love, no, love as I've loved you, just as He would die to love the other person. Love one another. That's what church was built upon. I was having a Bible study at the discipleship group with three guys yesterday. And yesterday morning, we looked at this text. I talked about it a little bit. You know, have you ever experienced a community like that in your life? A place where, you know, this awe of God, the community where people care about you, love you, and you're accepted and all that, you really experience where you love to be with one another. You love spending time with one another. Have you really experienced like that in your life? He said, I don't know. But this ought to be our experience. You know what? This is what this world needs. This world needs. Actually, Elba, let's put up the picture. How many of you heard about Finstagram? Finsta. How many of you know what Finsta is? Maybe 5 or 6 of you. You know, not Instagram. There's a Finstagram. what it is. You know, when you do Instagram or Facebook, right? You show only good things. You show yourself good. You do airbrush. You want to take all the pimples out of your face when you put the pictures up. You have the best. You look good. But the thing is, often that's not who you really are. That's how you're experiencing how you really are. Sometimes you are having a horrible, you still have a wonderful picture up there in the Facebook or Instagram. So the Finsta is where you have a secret account where you show your real self. You show your ugly face. No makeup, nothing. You put those things out so that only people you really care about know how you're really feeling. Because often Facebook is a fake book. We show faith, not really us. We show, you know, embellished part of ourselves to show people that when it's not really us. Instagram becomes where we boast ourselves, which is we are not. Often that might not be who really I am. You know what I mean? But the Finsta, this is the news article that I saw. Her name is, I think, Madison. Let me see if I can find the name. Madison Holloran. In 2014, January 14th, that's a beautiful girl. She's an athlete, very outgoing girl. The hour before she jumped from the 9-story parking lot, that's the Instagram she put on. The picture of the tree and all the lights were not. And an hour after she put that on, she jumped from the 9-story parking garage and died. And so that this was in the article. The whole point was that she was 19 years old. She was a beautiful Ivy League student, a star athlete, and all-around popular girl. Her Instagram account only underscores this image. Parties, friends, and track meets, and her dad cheering her on. But Madison was keenly aware of the difference between her online life and her real one. She was having depression and going through. And the last sentence of the article was, even people you think are perfect are going through something difficult. We are living in a generation, we are a social media generation, where people are becoming more and more lonely. We are becoming more and more alone. We do not know how to build relationship with others. We are generally needing, people are more and more awkward. We don't know how to hang out with others. Look at your past. I'm not good at this. You know, I always say wrong things. My wife has yelled at me. You know, and many of us are like that. Thank you, Joseph. I need you everywhere to make me feel better anyway. All I'm getting in is we are in the generation more and more. We do not need to spend time with people. I love, you know, when you're a FaceTime thing, FaceTime really is not on the here. You have to FaceTime, really sit down and talk to face to face. And that's really FaceTime. We do this. And the thing is that I don't really share my heart with you. Good communication is not only hearing what they say, but you need to feel what's going on. You need to hear what they are not saying. You need to communicate. We are living in a way we become more and more isolated from one another. And more people are getting depressed and having issues. But God's answer is when you are changed by the Spirit of God, you are supposed to live in a community because that's where God's answers are. In that loving community is where we are transformed, where we are healed, we are restored, we become more and more like Christ. That's what body of Christ is supposed to be. Let's go back to our slides. Beautiful girl. And when I put the slide, I didn't know what Alba said. Well, why did you pick up picture? I think he was wondering, is that a mistake? You put the picture in? Anyway, I wasn't. Anyway, sacrificial sharing. Okay, let me go on to the next verse. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they're taking their meals together. Now, I don't know if you noticed this thing. It says they were one mind in the temple. What temple was that? The Jerusalem temple. This was not a Christian place. These were the Jews gathered to worship God in Judaism. Now, in that temple, these Christians who are saved are gathering and spending time in the corner somewhere. They don't have a building. But they could get gathered together. This is where everybody can come. They gather as a big group, large group in the temple. But they also met in homes, house to house. You see two things happening here. They were gathering regularly as a big group, but everybody gathered, but they also made it smaller places, home houses, where they are really, really connected to one another. Let me stop here for a second. Now, I don't know how many of you know that our church was built on three-room theory. I don't know how many of you remember that. I don't think Pastor Mimi was there. She doesn't know. I know Lisa will remember. I know Elder Richard will remember. Three-room strategy. Does anybody remember? We talk about foyer and the living room and the kitchen. I think 2001, me and another person went down to Georgia and North Point Community Church, where Andy Stanley is a pastor, went to a conference with one of my favorite speakers, John Maxwell. There, they talked about how Andy Stanley came and said, we cannot save people. God does. All I can do is bring people to a place where they can meet God and be saved. So church is we need to make a place where people can come and meet God and be saved. So I talked about three things. Foyer is where anybody can come in. Anybody can come. Okay? Foyer is anybody can come. He says, all are welcome. But then you move into the living room where people gather and sit down. You know people by name. You're closing up or not. But when you go to the kitchen is where you do table talk. That's where family gets to yell at each other, talk to each other. You need all three places. The foyer is like where everybody can gather and worship together and all are welcome. But you also need a community where you are known, you are by name, people know about you, care about you enough, but you have some belonging. But you also need a smaller place where they know you not only by name, but they know your face, but they're able to yell at you, talk to you, really get to you because I care about you. You need all those three things. That's how we were building Hope Church. We want to gather as a worship together. We broke into four different groups, community groups, so that you have a place to belong. Youth will belong to one group, and the college-age people gather, and the singles will gather, and a married couple, families gather. And then yet you also need a smaller life groups where you can do life together. I don't know if you remember this, but this is what some of us, I remember when you're doing this, I remember college group, painted the room in the FKPC to make their own space. I'm a youth group trying to paint the room in the middle, hot place. Remember the ping pong table? Make your own space. Now, I mentioned this why. The early church instinctively knew they need to gather together as a big, everybody coming together, worshiping together. But they also knew they need a place where they can do life together one-on-one, house to house. Now, you know, and this is how you do life together. If you are not in a small group, life group in the church, you are not connecting to one another. You are not doing life together. You need to grow together. That's what the early church knew without any church strategy, without any theology. They knew instinct that they're supposed to do. You need to be part of, we need to be part of a worshiping community, but also need to be part of a place where you share life together. Are you doing that? That's what they did, house to house. They're breaking bread, eating food together. Food is always good. But remember what Christ has done. Are we doing life together? And I want to ask you now, as you look at what early church did, what it looked like, how amazing that's going on, I'm looking at where I am. Where are we? How are we doing? I need to be part of, to really live and experience what God is doing, I need to be part of a life groups where I can share life together with. Now listen, they did it voluntarily, but they devoted themselves to it because they knew this is right. By the Spirit of God, they intentionally put time and energy into it. Meaning that you build community not because somebody made it for you, come in. No, we build it together. They were building it together. And they didn't really have a pastor system or anything. They just instinctively knew this is what they're supposed to do by the Spirit of God. And there's something else at the bottom. It says, with gladness and sincerity of heart, there was a joy and celebration in their midst. Love being together with. I don't know when you had those kind of experiences. I can go back when I first began to go to church, before I was a Christian. The reason I went to church, because I was a hungry high school boy. And I was a loner. In those days, I was an introvert. You can never imagine, right? I was an introvert when I came to States. I was so insecure. I remember my sophomore year in high school, and whatnot, nobody knew me. Nobody knew me because I wouldn't talk to anybody. And I was still wearing my Korean, Korea 7th grade sports, activity shirt with Korean name on it, Sangdo. People called me by that name because nobody knew my name. And I was a loner, go to school and go back home. I did that. And nobody knew me, but somebody asked me, somebody asked me if I would come to church with him. Because the youth group was having some kind of special service. They needed extra, but they had six in the youth group. They were supposed to lead the whole congregation in worship. So they asked whether they can come. I went there. When I went there, the six people were there. They were so nice to me. They were feeding me, buying me food. When I go to church on Sunday with them, they may buy me lunch. When I go Sunday night, they buy me dinner. Afternoon, we'll be playing together all the time. I wasn't a Christian, but I love being with them. And I'm a loner. I'm an awkward guy. And they invited me to this group of six people. And they were hanging, having fun together. We used to do all the craziest thing. I was telling our guys, one of the craziest things this youth group did, the six guys, right? Six, three girls and three guys. And I'm me, seventh. And the things, crazy things they did, I'll tell you one, okay? I was telling the other guys. Now, in Hawaii, in Honolulu, there's a place called 13 Steps. Do you know that place? And over the Pali Highway, when you're over the mountain, there's a very wooded area, side road. And even in the daytime, it's dark because of the so much trees, right? And there is a place where there's a rumor that somebody, some lady killed us, hanged herself in one of the trees. So when you go there, and so I remember one day, this youth, by six guys, six people and me in the church bus, we are going there at night, pitch dark, and they're going to the road and telling the story how there is a bleeding tree where, there's somebody killed himself and the tree is bleeding blood all the time. And on the way, bus stops. So, what happened? Car doesn't start. You go and check it out. Meet them, I walk out, and they sped off. Total pitch dark. You cannot see nothing front and back for miles. I am terrified. They come back 20 minutes later. I almost peed on my pants. I'm so scared. At night, when that, we told a story about the tree where the woman supposedly hanged herself. Scared. And they were playing these pranks like this all the time. But we were having fun. The meaning, the thing is, in my first time in my life, I'm having fun with people. These Christian kids, but they were playing. But when you go now, you have to watch what you eat. You never leave your food. And sometimes you come back, go to the restroom, you'll be, the cigarette ashes on your food. Looks like pepper, right? The salt and pepper thing. Sometimes you drink coffee, you don't know whether they put any soy sauce in it or not. And you come back, you don't know whether you should use salt or sugar because they will put salt into the sugar bottle. Anyway, we are having fun though. What I'm getting is, I still remember, I wasn't a Christian yet. Being with them, I just felt accepted, loved being with them. That helped me to come to know Christ, prepared my heart to know Christ. And the thing, the world we are living in needs, we are in desperate need of a place where we are accepted, loved, and welcomed. This early church by the Spirit of God, when the Spirit of God came, they knew how to be a community. They were being a community. When the Holy Spirit comes, He works in our relationship. He helps to heal our relationship with people. He works in those things. Holy Spirit does it in our, it's not only about speaking in tongues and all those, but He works in our lives to build relationships. We become a family that cares each other. Because let me move on. They were meeting in temple and at homes. Now, I'm going to move on. Okay, there was joyous celebration in there. Let me read this verse. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who are being saved. You see that? They were worshiping God. Also, even non-Christians saw them. They had good reputation. They said they are good people. They are not bad people. They are a little weird. Always hanging out together, but they are good people. But also, not only that, not only people being attracted, but people being saved. God was adding to that number group. So as a result of people, God gave them growth. Let me give a few quote here. The community, the church is a tangible demonstration of my Father's great love for me. Our community is where God tangibly demonstrates his love for me. This is what church does in our life. This is a quote that I found from David Platt. The mercy of God we experience in worship. We express the mercy of God in the community. See, we experience mercy of God in God, especially when you worship God. But in the community, we express the mercy of God to one another. That's what church is supposed to be, a place where we express the mercy of God we receive from God to one another. That's what the church community is supposed to be. Community gets into the trenches with me, feels my grief with me, seeks to love me well in the way I need to be loved, even when I can't articulate what it is I need. This is what God is calling the church to be, autumn. And God, when the Holy Spirit God comes, when we are saved, we are made one family in God together. God has called us and given us a place where we care for one another, build our lives together with one another. And there we grow most, become more like God than anything else. There we are stirred our hearts out and sent out to love others as well. That's what Jesus said. They will know you are my disciple when you love one another. By your love, they will know that you are my disciples. When the church of God's people care for each other, love and love one another well, and the community where we practice God's mercy with one another, and then word sees and they are jealous of it, they are attracted to it, and they see God working in our lives. Amen. So therefore, if you look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20 to 25, it says, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. We are supposed to stimulate one another, not forsaking our own assembling together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see day drawing near. The other verse, NIV says, spur one another on. Spur one another on. I think NLT says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And we gather together. And if you look at places like Romans chapter 12, be devoted to one another. Forgive one another. Live in harmony with one another. That's not easy, is it? Honor one another. Do not judge one another. Accept one another. These are all in the scriptures about one another. This is what it means to be a fellowship community. Instruct one another. You speak to one another, right? Serve one another. Bear with one another. Be kind to one another. So many verses God speaks about. Be merciful to one another. Do not lie to one another. This is good. Do not lie to one another. Do not put up fake pictures on the Facebook, okay? Put a good one, a real one, okay? So you don't need to have a Finstagram. You just can do a real Rinsta, okay? Real Instagram, okay? Build up one another. Edify one another. Pray for one another. There's so many more, and we are supposed to be. We are growing in this. We are not only we are made for this, we are called to do this. We are supposed to do this together. Building one another. What if God's people really lived out, obey and follow God's word? We've been talking about how do we, Priscilla, can you get ready? We've been talking about how can you continue being filled with the Holy Spirit? How can you walk with God? How can we be led by the Spirit of God? All that. One of the places we do that more than anywhere else, place we start is in the community. But this is where we are accepted. This is where we can experiment. This is where we grow together. We are called to be family of God together. Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 16, do you not know that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 and 21 says we are growing into a holy temple in the Lord. We are being built together as a dwelling of God in the Spirit. We are being built together as a house of God. We are building it together. One of the things that we wanted as a Hope Church is that we want a church where not pastors who are building the church, it's us. We build a church together. This is not Pastor Chris Church or Pastor Mimi's church. It is our community we are building, meaning that we build it together. Let me say this, and I say this in marrying couples all the time. True love is not something you find. True love is something you build, you work toward. True community is not something you find. If you're looking for a perfect church, perfect community, even if you find it, which you're not, don't go there because you're going to ruin it. And perfect community is not something you find, you build together with. That's what God made it to be. This is where we practice, this is where we live out the life in the Spirit. Holy Spirit is a relational person. Holy Spirit comes, He changes our heart, He works on our relationship, restores our relationship more than anything else. If there's any broken relationship, He'll work on that in your life. Our God is an amazing God, God who builds all things. Amen? Let's stand. I want to encourage you, let's pour on one another. To love one another, build the body of Christ together, and pray for one another and care for each other, inviting others to seek God together. Let me pray once and we'll worship God together. I want to just give you one exhortation. As a people of God, I want you to really be open to giving encouraging words to one another in the body of Christ. You can call it prophetic, but we want to be encouraging one another. Not discouraging, okay? We are supposed to edify, build up one another. I think it'll be great. You don't just practice when you go to mission field. I think in a family, we get to encourage and speak to one another. That's what Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19 says. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Speaking one another, the promises of God, encouragements from God, we build up one another. As it says, practice being a body of Christ. Let's open our eyes to care for one another, look for people, and care. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and love of God the Father, communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit of God, communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit of God be upon Hope Church, be upon all of us who are gathered here, be upon the people of God, those who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, from now until forever and evermore. Amen. Amen.